Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come together around your word in fellowship. And although we are apart in other respects, we are together as your people. And Father, we just pray that you'd grow our faith in a time like this. Lord, we thank you that your word reminds us that although we're in a spiritual battle, Father, that you have given us victory, the victory you won at the cross. Lord, we thank you for these great heroes of the faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. And we thank you for the life of Moses, which reminds us that although we're in a spiritual battle, that we can overcome and, Lord, we can have victory in you. Father, we thank you that even though we live in a day that is difficult, where we face this COVID pandemic, Lord, we want to just thank you that we can pray and seek you and be strengthened at a time like this. Lord, we pray for our government who has such a great responsibility in leading this country. Father, we pray for our communities. Lord, we pray for families who are struggling, perhaps because of financial challenges or work challenges or perhaps even being sick at this time. We thank you. We can pray that your spirit would come alongside of them. And Lord, that you would counsel us and lead us in all wisdom. Father, now we want to pray that you would lift up our hearts as we come around your word. And Lord, that you'd speak to us and minister to us. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. We've been talking about living a supernatural life of faith. It's supernatural because the eye of faith sees what others cannot see. We're guided by something far greater than just life itself. Faith sees God. Faith sees God's hand. And in many respects, we need to train our eyes of faith. We're in our series, Real Faith in an Unreal World, and we do certainly live in an unreal world. We're encountering things we have never before encountered in our generation. We've seen that faith worships the Lord Jesus Christ as the crucified and risen Lord. Worship is the starting point of our walk of faith. We saw how Abel brought an authentic blood sacrifice, which really points us forward to Christ's sacrifice at Calvary. Abel recognized he was a sinner in need of God's grace and forgiveness. Faith worships. Faith then walks with God. Enoch walked at the same place, on the same path, at the same pace as God. Our walk with God empowers our faith. And perhaps if you feel you're lacking in faith, then the first place to look is your devotional life with the Lord. Faith works for God. Noah, when warned of the flood, he built an ark and he saved his family. The outworking of faith is that we bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We long to see people getting saved. And then faith waits on God. Abraham waited for God's promises over a number of years, and because of that, he received God's promises. A.W. Tozer said that spiritual Christians look upon the world not as a playground, but as a battleground. If you're a Christian, you're involved in a spiritual battle. I don't know if you realize that, but Satan is arrayed against the kingdom, God's kingdom, and against Christians, and we're certainly involved in a spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to 12, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The Greek word kosmokratos speaks about world rulers or world powers that are arrayed against the kingdom of God and against God's people. Now, I'm not giving you a sermon on spiritual warfare today. But we're looking at faith and at the spiritual battle that every one of us face. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 to 29, there we see Moses and the faith he exercised in his spiritual battle. Hebrews 11 verse 23. "By faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people, with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded his grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people crossed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Certainly, Moses' story is an amazing story, and we see firstly Moses' preservation. Here is Moses' parents' faith. Moses became a man of faith because he was surrounded by people of faith. His parents were Amram and Jochebed, people of faith. They believed that God intervenes in our life struggles. I don't know if you believe that, but certainly, God involves himself in our lives, in your life. And as we struggle through life, we can turn to the Lord and he intervenes at important points in our lives. Somebody said, my mother practices what I preach. Well, we need to practice our faith. A great example of faith is James Dobson's great-great-grandfather. Some years ago, he made an announcement. He'd spent some time in prayer seeking God's face, and God had said to him that the next three generations would be people who serve God in ministry as pastors, in full-time ministry. And the last generation, James Dobson, of course, started his organization that focused on the family. And the next three generations fulfilled God's call in their lives, all because of a man who had great faith. Are your children becoming people of faith because when they look to you, they see your faith, they see faith in action, and they're challenged by it? Verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. Josephus, the Jewish historian, said that during Jochebed's pregnancy, Amram received a vision from God. God would use their son to deliver his people. In verse 23, it says that they saw the child was no ordinary child. Now, I think that every parent thinks that his or her child is the most beautiful child there is. But yeah, what is spoken about is more than beauty. It's something about the unique plan of God. Pharaoh was a despot. He'd kill little babies. He'd throw them or drown the babies in the Nile River. Their faith risked the anger of the king, while their love devised an ingenious way of evading the king's ruthless edict. Certainly, Moses' story is an incredible story. A baby who was placed in a basket. And then we read how Pharaoh's daughter sees this baby in the Nile River, and her heart is moved, I believe, by the Spirit of God. And Moses' mother, as the story turns out, becomes the midwife. She was paid to look after her own child. Israel's deliverance began with an obscure couple believing God in the darkness. Yeah, we see the providence of God. God intervening in history. Why was that? Well, he used a couple who had faith and who believed God in the darkness. Moses' preservation. And then secondly, we see this great man, Moses, his preparation. Moses' preparation. Moses grew up in the court of Pharaoh, and one would think it's the most unlikely place, a most unspiritual place for a Christian leader to develop. Think of those godless motivations, those godless morals, the quest for riches and power in an unhealthy way. Oswald Sandler said the following: when God trains a man, he does not always keep him in isolation and seclusion. Rather, he allows the searching winds of temptation and tribulation to beat upon him in order to develop strength of character. Here we see Moses grew up in one sense, in a sinful environment, and yet God overrules our environment. And isn't it so true today that although some of us may have not the best backgrounds, God overrules and uses our lives in glorious ways. Moses became a student. He became a statesman. And history even tells us he was a great soldier, a leader of some of the army of Egypt. And then in the words of D.L. Moody, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was a somebody. He spent the next 40 years learning he was a nobody. And then for the last 40 years, he discovered what God could do with a nobody. God had ministered to him in the desert, herding sheep and yet training him in isolation. Moses' preparation. And then we see, thirdly, Moses' priorities. We see four verbs in this passage, action words, four action words. The first is found in verse 24. Moses refused. What did Moses refuse? Well, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This was quite a refusal. What did this mean? The son of Pharaoh's daughter was a royal designation, a royal title, a title that had power and prestige and wealth. When Moses got up, what did he see from his veranda? He saw the greatest army the world could muster in his day. At the snap of a finger, he could give the command and the army would do as he commanded. He had access to Pharaoh's treasury. Moses was not only powerful, but also wealthy. An archaeological article tells us that the clothing they wore was some of the finest clothing to be worn in human history. Moses would have been a snazzy dresser. If it was today, he'd be on the cover of a fashion magazine. He was a fashion statement. He was a fashion king. He had everything at his disposal. But a walk with God required that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let's just pause here for a moment and examine ourselves. What refusals do we need to make? Have we not perhaps become too ambitious with the things of this world? Has our kingdom vision perhaps become clouded by our wants of worldly things? Moses refused, and then we see in verse 25, and the next action word, Moses chose. Faith makes heavenly choices. Andrew Murray, the great South African pastor, once said the following: what we love and live in, we believe in. He that trusts and yields himself to the visible and the temporal lives a fleshy life. He that looks to the unseen and the eternal joins himself to it, lives a divine heavenly life. Between these two, faith has ever to make its choice. The clearer and more deliberate, the more conscious the decision for the unseen, the more will the faith in God be strengthened and rewarded. There was once a missionary in Taiwan. He decided to take some teens on a camp overnight, and that wasn't a good idea. They would go up into the mountains in Taiwan. They'd have to take their own food, take their own water, carry everything, all the wood and so on. And it was really, really hot and steamy. And one of the young people said to the missionary when they arrived, as they were going up the mountain, "Can I drink some of your water?" Well, the missionary asked, "Well, why don't you drink your own water? You know, it's so hot." And the teenager replied, "Well, I've already drunk my water." And this was just the beginning of the hike, the camping expedition. "I don't want to camp. The wood's so heavy and the water's so heavy. I can't sleep. There are mosquitoes." Well, needless to say, that missionary made a decision never again to camp out. Moses chose to do exactly that with about 3 million people groaning and moaning and complaining people for 40 years, not 40 days or 40 months, for 40 years, Moses would camp out in the wilderness with the people of God. Scripture tells us he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And yeah, he's not talking about some of the naughty things we do as we'd see as sin, but as we might think of it. But what the world calls being successful, position and prestige and power and wealth and freedom from life's problems like poverty. How could Moses make such a choice? Well, the answer is in verse 26 of our reading. Moses regarded his grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 and verses 28 to 30 says the following. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What a wonderful promise that we will see the glory of God in glorified bodies one day in heaven. Moses refused. Moses chose. And then the third action word in verse 26 and from the King James, Moses esteemed. If you're reading the NIV, it's the word regarded. The Greek word means to look away. Moses looked away. When I was growing up, there was a friend of mine. There were two girls he knew. One was a real looker. In fact, she did some modeling. She was really attractive. Perhaps some guys would whistle at her. She certainly made heads turn. She'd come to our youth and perhaps a bit of a flirtatious type who could possibly get you into trouble. But then there was another girl, not half as attractive and entertaining and energetic, but the second girl was a Christian. She had Christian morals. She was totally committed to the Lord. And my friend, he made a good and wise choice by esteeming the right girl. And he esteemed, he looked away from the one and he chose the other wisely. Moses esteemed, he looked away from the glitz and glamour of what the world offered him to what mattered most to God. Moses refused, he chose, he esteemed. And finally, Moses, verse 27, he persevered. The first three verbs are important, but the fourth is critical, because if you don't persevere, the other three are going to be rendered useless. Many people are great starters, but not great finishers. Moses persevered. In verse 28, it tells us he kept the Passover. What was so remarkable about this event, the Passover? God had told Moses exactly how Israel could be saved from his wrath, from the angel of death. The sprinkling of blood at the entrance of their homes would save them from death. The angel of death would pass over. God's wrath, God's anger, God's punishment would be turned away from this people. Anybody would have believed it and acted upon it, right? Well, really? God has told us how to be saved from his wrath. We are told of the blood that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. But people do not believe it today. Romans 5:9, we're reminded that since we have been justified by the blood of Christ, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. Moses persevered. He kept the Passover. And then it tells us in verse 29 that Moses and the people crossed the Red Sea. Moses had faith to believe that Israel would walk along on dry land through the Red Sea, and that the water would not flow back until they had got safely to the other side. With tremendous courage, he persuaded Israel to take the first step and commit themselves to crossing over. The apostle Paul would write later in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. I like the message at this point. It says the following. All our ancestors were led by the providential cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through the waters in a baptism like ours, as Moses led them from enslaving death to salvation life. Here is a powerful, powerful picture. Baptism symbolizes a new walk of faith in Christ from the old to the new. Why is it so difficult to take that first step in baptism and commit ourselves to crossing over, to beginning our walk in the Lord Jesus Christ? Moses refused, Moses chose, Moses esteemed, and Moses persevered. Faith wars. Are you perhaps facing a spiritual battle? In application, what does faith do? Firstly, in verse 23, faith conquers our fears. Moses' faith conquered his fear of Pharaoh. That wasn't a natural confidence, but his faith overcame his fear. Friend, what are you fearing today? Is it a loss of a job or maybe your health? Maybe you've even caught the coronavirus. Is it perhaps even serving the Lord and you fear to do even that? I remember many years ago when I was went to high school. It was my first year of high school and I was playing under 13 rugby. I hadn't been selected for a few weeks to join the team. I was sitting on the side of the field with my little heart really discouraged and disheartened. It's the worst thing to watch your friends playing rugby, perhaps become a bit discouraged. And maybe like that, you've become discouraged. Christians become discouraged when things around them are tough. Christian leaders and pastors become discouraged when things don't work out as they desire. Parents maybe sometimes are disappointed and students are struggling and perhaps feeling depressed because they can't go to work, to school, or they can't study as they'd like to at this time. There's some wonderful words in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 to 16. I shared this last week, but I feel led to share this again. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And of course, last time we were reminded that this is well-timed help. Faith can conquer your fears. Secondly, faith determines our options. We've already seen that Moses' faith caused him to refuse. It caused him to choose. It caused him to esteem, to look away to the promises of God. It caused him to persevere, to keep on keeping on. And certainly your faith will determine your options. This is really at the heart of our spiritual battle. I remember some years ago I had friends who the husband was offered a job in another city, and it meant it was a job promotion. It meant that he'd have to travel and be away from his family right through the week until the weekend. And I remember chatting to him and saying it wasn't a good idea. And he still prevailed, and eventually his marriage failed very sadly. And certainly our faith options are determined by what we believe about God and what he's saying to us. The Word of God certainly leads us to make certain judgments on issues in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight." Faith determines our options. And then thirdly, verse 27, faith sharpens our vision. Moses knew what he had to do. Moses knew when he had to do it. Moses knew what he believed, where he belonged, where he was going, and why he was going. Moses persevered. Moses had to take the people of God out of Egypt into Canaan. God wants us to have a 2020 vision. He wants us to see things clearly, because that's when we serve him effectively. We need to see things clearly against eternal values. Moses saw him who was invisible, and he looked forward to his reward. Like Moses, we need to take people from Egypt, which pictures sin and defeat and bondage, into Canaan, the promised land, out of slavery and to the promises of God, out of life of defeat and bondage into a life of victory, out of sin into forgiveness, from the domain of Satan into the kingdom of God. Faith takes us out, it takes us through, and it brings us in. Faith takes us out of Egypt. It takes us through the wilderness, the desert land. And friends, it brings us in to the promised land. What is God calling you to do today as you share his grace and his mercy, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ? For this reason, says the writer to the Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 1, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard, so that we will not drift away. Faith sharpens your vision. And then fourthly, faith recognizes its dependence, verse 28. Moses recognized his total dependence on the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 to 21, the doxology of this letter. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant has brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Faith recognizes its total dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, number five, faith overcomes our difficulties, verse 29. Dr. Vance Havner said, Moses chose the imperishable, he saw the invisible, and he did the impossible. I don't forget, some years ago, I had to make a tax payment, had to pay in some money to the receiver of revenue, and we were battling to pay it, but I trusted God and prayed, and the Lord helped me out of my difficulty. Hebrews 13, verses 5, 6, and 8 says the following, Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that glorious? I want to close with a poem I read recently. I saw a human life ablaze for God. I felt a power divine. As through a human vessel of frail clay, I saw God's glory shine. Then I woke from a dream and cried aloud, My Father, give to me the blessing of a life consumed, that I may live for thee. Amen. Let's bow heads in prayer. Father, we thank you that although we fight this spiritual battle, that Lord, in you we have the victory. We thank you for this glorious picture of this hero of faith, Moses, who trusted you, who walked by faith, and because he walked by faith, he had the victory. Lord, won't you remind us that each day we do fight a spiritual battle, and Lord, we need to turn to you and seek your face. Father, we thank you that you won the battle at the cross of Calvary. And Lord, as we listen to your word, as we pray, as we seek you, that you guide us through this time. Father, how many of us face various challenges, whether it's sickness, whether it's financial, whether it's perhaps feeling depressed at a time like this, or perhaps feeling overworked. Lord, we pray that you remind us that we are on the victory side, and in you we find victory. Lord, we pray that you'd give us a new and fresh faith that looks to you. Father, that relies on the Spirit who comes alongside of us, the Paraclete who comes alongside, the Counselor who leads us forward in all wisdom. Friend, as we bow before the Lord, won't you just pray at this time and ask God to lead you into victory? Ask the Lord to strengthen your faith and to build faith into your life, and that the Lord would give you eyes of faith to ultimately look to eternity and to not be swayed by the challenges we face in the world, but Lord, to be have eyes that are fixed on you. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we pray now that you'd help us as we seek you. We'll just spend a few moments in quiet as you commune with the Lord, that he might give you strength and grow your faith. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we pray that you'd grow us as we journey on this walk of faith. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.